Okay. So take All it right. away when you're ready. Great.
Thank you, Dr. Arnold. Everyone, hello and good morning. My name is Ali DeKroob. I am a faculty member at the University of Pittsburgh and a clinician educator at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. I am a MedPeds physician by training, the associate program director for the UPMC MedPeds program, and I'm involved with a lot of courses throughout the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. The reason I'm with you today, aside from being an avid member of ACP, is my master's in medical education was rooted in a thesis project in game-based learning, and I've been a very big fan of using games to promote learning in medical education for years and years, and I've studied it for about 5 or 6 years at this point. Hosting this game is a passion of mine. It's something I feel very strongly about, and I feel very privileged every year that I'm invited to do it. I do have a sheet that I've updated that I would like to share with everyone that sort of goes over the rules. And part of the reason we're having this session today is not only to answer everyone's questions and make sure we're all on the same page for how the game will run, but also to have Dr. Arnold hear the rules with me and let me know if there's any logistics or any sort of fine points that I may have overlooked, given that we haven't had an in-person ACP in some time. And I want to make sure that we are doing everything with a reverence for how the system will look. So I'm going to share my screen. I believe I have the rules here. Can everyone confirm whether or not you're looking at a Word document that says Doctor's Dilemma on it?
We are. It might be helpful if you're able to zoom in a little bit on it.
Yes, I can.
Some people may be on their phones.
All right. So I'll leave it big like this and I'll just scroll down as we go. Does that look okay, Dr. Arnold?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. So October 15th, 2022 at UPMC McKeesport. And Dr. Arnold, I believe you said it'll be right after the keynote speech. Do you have right after the introductory comments?
Right after the introduction. So just so everyone's aware, the schedule's been updated. This will be the first major part of the conference on that Saturday morning.
Do we have an approximate time on that?
We say 8:30.
I was thinking 8:30.
8:30.
Yep.
8:30. Excellent. Right now. If you are in the game, it would be advisable for you to show up a few minutes early if possible. I'll be there a little bit early to make sure to orient everyone. This is my name. I have a master's degree now. That's exciting. My email address and my cell phone number if anybody has any questions. So I'm going to go over the rules. I'd recommend if you have a question, put it in the chat for right now, and then we'll see if I answer it by the end of the explanation. And if not, then I can address any questions. But essentially, each team of three residents will have one buzzer. The teams are going to sit facing a screen with their backs to the audience, so there should be no eye-to-eye contact with anyone on the teams except for with me and any potential scorekeeper or adjudicator, meaning no teams are going to be able to visualize anyone in the audience or from their institution other than the other members of the team. We'll do a buzzer check before we get started. And then I'll have a preliminary question. Generally, it's a number-based question. You know, I could ask something like, you know, how many COVID vaccines have been given in America to date to the nearest 1,000? And then whoever's closest will generally start the game. Keeping in mind that unlike standard Jeopardy, that's timed. So choosing the category actually matters because you could essentially run the board out on time. We answer every question. So it is kind of irrelevant who chooses to go first, but nonetheless, we will determine who goes first that way. There's essentially three rounds for the competition. There's two rounds that really look like traditional Jeopardy, and then a third round that's a wager-based final question that also looks like traditional Jeopardy. The first round will comprise five categories with five questions, which have a value of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 500 points. Generally, they are an increasing difficulty. Occasionally, I might, you know, think a question would be harder for the participants that ends up being a little bit easier, but those discrepancies are not significant. And if anything, it may be only a few questions. So I would say without fail, generally the questions do get harder as you go down the tier. The second round of questions will have five questions, but the point values will be doubled to 2, 4, 6, 8, and 1,000. I do want to point out that unlike traditional Jeopardy, there is no double Jeopardy nor wager-based question during the standard gameplay. It's simply pick a question, we get the answer, we move on. The final round will have one category with one question. I will give you the category of the final question, then ask you to make a wager that cannot exceed the maximum number of points that you currently have at the time. Should you get that question right, you will get your points. Should you get it wrong, you lose your points. And it'll be a question that requires you to write down an answer, and I will collect the answers. They must be written on a piece of paper in the time allotted for the final question. All of the questions are written by physicians in ACP's Med Ed division using ACP educational resources and appropriate primary literature. I actually write every question. I will have one person read every question and verify that there are no typos and that the questions make sense. Both me and that person have absolutely no connection to anyone playing the game other than the fact that I obviously work for UPMC at Presbyterian Hospital, but I will have no contact with the residents that are participating in that game, nor will I have contact with the coach of the game from my institution, nor will the person who proofreads the questions. Additionally, most evidence-based questions have citations and the answers will be concrete and well-defined. Meaning, when I write questions, it will say, according to the American Urologic Association guidelines, this is the first line recommended treatment for BPH, or according to, and source will be given. So there really isn't a lot of wiggle room for answer choices because I specify from where the answer was derived in the question. If you answer a question and you are too broad, I will ask you to be more specific. But if you answer a question more specifically and get it wrong, you are wrong. For instance, if you answer milia or miliaria and I say what kind and you say miliaria rubra and you get it correct, then you're correct. But if you answer miliaria crystallina as an answer that is miliaria rubra, you are incorrect because you overspecified an answer that is the incorrect answer. So I just want to point out that if during the game you're ever sort of debating how you should answer, you should start broader and have me prompt you for a more specific answer, just like standard Jeopardy. So the way the logistics of the game work in terms of the actual play-by-play, for the first two rounds, once the team selects a question, I will read the question. The question will not be displayed on a screen until I'm done reading. Meaning, if I read the question and you buzz in while I am reading, I am going to stop talking and you have 3 seconds to answer the question. And I believe we actually bought a buzzer system. Dr. Arnold, you can correct me.
It's in the process of being purchased, yes.
It's in the process where it will actually time you out after 3 seconds. So a light will come on in 3 seconds and alert me that you have not started your answer by the time that light comes on. That is a no tolerance policy. If your answer is not started and sort of uniformly completed after 3 seconds, you are incorrect. After a team buzzes in and answers incorrectly, I'll reset the buzzers and continue to read the question again from the first word. If another team buzzes in, same situation, I'll stop speaking. They have 3 seconds to answer and then I'll restart the question. If a team is unable to respond at all or no teams answer correctly, I'll just announce incorrect and I'll give you the answer to the question. If you answer correctly, you earn that many points and you retain control of the board or earn control of the board. If you answer incorrectly, your team will lose that number of points. After I'm done reading the question, it'll be displayed on the screen and 10 seconds will be allotted for any team to buzz in and answer in the form of a question. I'm going to take that back. We did not mandate teams answer in the form of a question last time we did this. So you can just say the answer. If no team buzzes in, I'll display the answer. And then again, points are awarded to the team that buzzes in and successfully answers the question. A couple of key points. This next point, I cannot overstate it enough. It can actually ruin the game if not adhered to. It is imperative that you await my acknowledgement of your buzz before you answer the question. So a lot of times people get excited when you know an answer. I get it. When I was a resident, I played in this too, and it's very exciting when you know an answer and you want to earn your points. However, it is really important that you wait for me to acknowledge you to ensure that there's no discrepancy as to who buzzed in and who's giving an answer. Oftentimes, two teams will buzz at the same time and one team thinks they're the one that buzzed first and they'll blurt out an answer when really it was the other team's, you know, try to answer the points. If a team who isn't acknowledged answers a question, that question is still valid. So if you scream out an answer that's correct, but it was really another team's turn to answer, that team can steal your answer and earn their points. So I cannot state enough. It is imperative that you wait for me to acknowledge that you're the team answering before you answer. And I'll do that by stating your team name. So, you know, if Kanama buzzes in first, I'll say Kanama, and then they'll give me an answer. For the final round, so after the first two, so after the first round of Jeopardy, I'll give you a point total and there'll be a short break. At that point, you can swap out one alternate for one other person of your team if you choose to. Then we'll play round two. After round two, I'll give you final scores. For any team that has any point value greater than zero, meaning you have at least 1 point to bargain with or to wager, I'll ask you for wagers after displaying a category, and then I'll ask you a final question that requires you to write the answer down on a piece of paper and turn it in. I'll then step aside with an adjudicator to go through the answers and denote them as correct or incorrect. I'll adjust the scores on my paper, and then we'll announce the winners. The team with the most points is the winner, and we'll do one or two practice questions and test the buzzers before we start, like I mentioned. Aside from that, that's all I have on this document. And I did email this document to Dr. Arnold, but Dr. Arnold, I'll send you an updated copy with some of the slight changes that I made to it as we spoke. I'm going to unshare my screen. Did I unshare my screen already?
Nope, we still see it.
How do I?
This should be a share screen button for you. There you go.
All right. At this point, I can take any questions or answer any thoughts, concerns, comments.
Hi, this is Zol from the AGH faculty coach. I have one question. Let's say we have a, I'm not sure how many teams has been reported to be for this competition. Let's say we have five teams. Are you divided into two sections or are you in a one section or six teams? Usually three teams is, I think, good enough, or four teams is maybe one session. Let's say five teams are playing. How are you going to, I'm not sure we have enough space for five teams sitting around a table.
So we are fortunate enough to have a large space to do this game in. And our region is not so large like some of the other regions in the state where they have to run multiple rounds. So for, I believe the last time this was done in person, it was done as a single round. Is that your memory as well? Yep. And I believe, did we have five teams that year as well?
There were five teams in 2019. Each team comprised three people. We got through the game in less than an hour, and each team was at a high top table that was about 5 feet away from the next, arranged in a semicircle with me sort of at the epicenter of the semicircle.
So for this year, we will do this as a single round. And as long as it works well again, we will plan for that format again, assuming we don't have an additional program join our region in future years. If there's significant dissent from this format after this year, we could discuss for future years looking at a multiple round format. But timing becomes an issue, right? It's hard to fit in multiple rounds and have everyone feel like they really got the full experience if we have to do two or three rounds to resolve sort of as a bracket kind of format. So.
Sure. Thanks.
Sure.
Quick question here, Alder Gash from Conemaugh for Dr. Dacroo. Do you think it would be maybe better? Oh, I mean, just guessing, because allowing the teams to buzz before you finish reading the question. Is this really like how helpful is making it more exciting, or we're just doing it because this is how it is Jeopardy always been?
I'm going to answer that question honestly with you. It honestly doesn't matter. Because generally the way that I write questions is with an acknowledgement that people will tend to buzz earlier. And if they do, they're generally wrong, because usually I save a phrase for the end of the question that changes the tone and direction that the question is going. So for instance, last year, one of the questions I wrote was, according to the KDIGO, please define acute kidney injury. And everyone buzzed in telling me a creatinine threshold, but the last phrase of the question was, as defined by urine output. And the only team that got it right was the team that listened, that I wanted the specific definition based on urine output, and then gave me the proper definition of less than 0.5 cc's per kg of urine per day, or over the hour long, the period that it was. So generally it becomes a moot point because you can't really buzz in and get my questions correctly early, frankly. But the rules that have been set forth by ACP and given to me state that the player should be allowed to buzz and try to guess the question before I finish reading it. I'm indifferent about how the rule actually is for the game. That would be more at the administrative level.
Hi, this is Zalmin. My understanding is this is the rule because if you go to the Western Pennsylvania, you go to state competition, the same rule apply. And after you stay, you go to the national, the same thing happens. So it has to be consistency like this way the whole time the ACB is doing that. I haven't participated in national competition as well. This is what they do all the time. So some questions started, they just, some people just buzz in. If there's a old question that people know, practicing, and then some people just very learning by heart and then just step in and then try the luck.
Yeah, so you're right. So we want our region's rules to be in line with the other competitions at sort of the next level so that the winners here kind of are used to the format that they'll be seeing in the next round. But, you know, obviously every game maker's questions will be a little bit different, and that, you know, buzzing early may work well in some players in some games and not well in others. So I guess one thing you learned from today is that you may want to coach your teams that they do that at their own peril in our games. So
I also just want to add, while I do have access to prior questions from various ACP competitions, and I do look at them to see what concepts have been quizzed on in prior games, I write every single question myself, meaning there will not be a question on this board that you've seen somewhere else. The concept may be similar or related, but word for word, there will be no question in this game that you have seen before, unless the one in a million chance that you've come across a question that is worded the exact same way that I've worded one in a Jeopardy game, which could always be the case, but would be highly improbable.
So again, what would be your recommended for the team member for the study material reference? Is that a MaxSAF or is there something else that would be, is there any like a kind of a reference study material for the team member? Because right now is that I think every team is studying or practicing with the old questions in addition to that, some max up. So what would you suggest?
Dr. Arnold, I'm not sure how you want me to answer that question.
I think okay to take the Fifth Amendment.
so I will attempt to answer it since I am not writing the questions. And so the chance of me giving away something is nil. So MixApp's a great source because it's gen med focused and it's broad. And I think that the goal is, and what Dr. DeCrobe's doing is writing questions that are intended to be answered by generalists. We're training general internists. Obviously we cross overlap with a lot of subspecialists, but we're not asking for detailed subspecialty nuances that, you know, so if it's within the purview of a general internist, it's good. MixApp's a great broad resource. I think, you know, I'm going by my own assumptions here, because again, I'm not writing the questions, but listening to what you've heard today, looking at guidelines, looking at recent guideline updates are probably high yield, especially where they are covering sort of broad general internal medicine concepts and diseases. So.
Thank you.
Dr. Gabriel, I think you have your hand up.
Well, I can't thank you enough. The ACP is in absolute good hands. Thank you, Ali, and thank you, John. Electronic buzzers. Do you remember Ray said, we're trying to use something web-based? Is that true, or are we buying
a... We're going to buy physical wired buzzers. So one thing that's been an issue, I know, in other settings, and honestly is an issue in our hospital, is our Wi-Fi coverage and our cell phone coverage is not great. And having as someone who is an electrical and a computer engineer in a prior life, I don't want there to be concerns about, you know, one team's latency because they're on a different wireless network is longer than another's. In this case, everyone will have the same length cabling from a physical system, a physical buzzer system that will be going into the same box in the middle to take away any of those millisecond differences in the buzzer times. So,
perfect. Thank you. And second is crowd control. Please be sure we emphasize that no one can whisper loudly or keep clapping and all that. We should try to discourage
that. That's a great point. We'll have security on hand.
Do we have any arbitrators? Sometimes people get stubborn and say, "Oh no, this is reference," and we'll shout and look at the ACP or whatever guidelines. Do you need to set one or two arbitrators to say we even search something quickly?
So that's a great question. In the past, I think in the past 3 years, we've done this twice because I think there was 1 year we didn't do it due to COVID. And I can tell you that I've only ever had one major discrepancy arise. And I actually had to pull out a resource and show the person who was asking the question what the correct answer was. And then he actually continued to argue with me. But at that point, I just walked away from him. But I will tell you that having an arbitrator is a very, very good idea. In an ideal setting, there should be two or three of them. In an ideal setting, there should be one person from each site on a committee, and we should have those five people work together. The odds of us needing one are not high. However, to preserve the integrity of the game, if we could have one person from each site who's participating in the game sort of serve as a committee, that would be good. But in that case, those people would need to be huddled on their own in a corner of the room and not have contact with anybody else who's involved in the game. On this note, there will be three or four people helping me with the computer system and scorekeeping. Given the pace of the game, I cannot do everything myself. So I can't click the computer, read the question, allocate the points to the teams, keep a running tally, and moderate the room at the same time. There's just no way. I tend to be more of a showman of sorts. As a former Family Feud game show contestant and a former Wheel of Fortune game show contestant, I very much like to work the room. So I likely will be reading the questions and working on the crowd control piece and speaking while someone else is clicking on the computer while two other people are keeping score. Those will be people I will recruit because they don't change the outcome of the game in any capacity. They're purely logistical, but the arbitrators should be fairly distributed. And ideally we should have one from each institution.
Okay, I think we can ask each one to do. And the National does have a group of arbitrators, so that's okay.
I see another question in the chat.
Yes, I'm just asking about the teams. Are they going to be able to see the scores question by question, or they have to wait until the end of the round to see the scores?
The way we do it is we have an easel in the corner that has like those sticky note things you can like wrap over. And so we'll usually have five columns, and as they answer, we'll just write the point value down. And if they're wrong, we put a minus. And if they're positive, if they're correct, we put a plus. So in general, we encourage teams to keep their own running score on their own paper because the scorekeepers cannot tally that score. And we have no way of doing it on a computer to get it done faster. The game moves pretty quickly. So generally we keep a running sort of list of scoring on a piece of paper that's visible to the whole room, but teams are encouraged at the beginning to keep their own scores if they want to be aware of their own scores.
Tally at the end of the round, I assume.
Yes. After round one, we will tally and we will adjudicate any scoring discrepancies. So I will ask the teams to tell me what they came up with for their score, if they're keeping score, and I'll make sure it matches what we have. And we'll make sure that everyone's on the same page at every step of the game. But we do not have a running summative total that is visible during the round.
Actually, I can help with that if you wish. The way we do it, we have two computers and two projectors. And the projector will aim at the side easel that you're referring to. And there's Excel sheet that I made. And once you enter the number, it will automatically calculate. And question by question, the final scores will be displayed or visible on the top. So I can send this to you and see if we can have an extra projector.
We can look into that. Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll have a paper backup no matter what.
Right.
So maybe one person on paper, and if this works, I think it's a great idea. We'll just have to figure out logistics of the projector and the spacing and how to get it there. So yeah,
I will mail it to you, and we used it multiple times. Are these candidates? Are some of the players are also having posters? Are the posters going to be running at the same time?
No. No, we intentionally made sure that these were spaced out. And this is part of why we wanted a single round game, is so we could have time for everything to be separate, because we encourage both to be involved in both, but also, even if you're not, be there present for all of it. So,
perfect. Thank you.
One last point I want to make before we break. I recognize this is a fun and competitive environment, but in a big picture platform here, we are all physicians who work together to keep a population of people safe in the same city that in which we all, most of us live. On that note, there is a zero tolerance policy for anything being done that could even be remotely construed as either unprofessional or unsportsmanlike or unsportspersonlike. Meaning at the end of the day, it is important that we walk out with pride for our region as a whole, for who we are as physicians and how we work together to promote sort of good best practices. I think, Aldert Gash, did you have another question?
Yeah, I keep hearing you guys saying a single round. Do you mean that there will be no double jeopardy, or what does it mean exactly?
So the game's gonna run as two rounds of questions with score, will tally in the middle, or may have the tally sort of going if we can get that working. And then a final jeopardy, but there's not gonna be we're not going to have some of the teams competing against each other first and then another set against each other after that, or have them in separate places. All five teams will be competing in the same game.
Yeah, this is how we do it. I think we did it for the last few years, one time.
Yes, exactly. Other regions, though, have more teams and have to run either multiple simultaneous games and then have a sort of a final round with the winners of the games or things like that. So we are lucky enough not to need to do that. So
okay.
For the scoring, it would be great to see that if you have a real-time scoring system, score marks on the, what I see before is that there's a white, big whiteboard, sitting in, let's say, Carnimo, AGH, yes. UPMC, Pezzabert, within there, and then score, somebody is scoring for writing down in a whiteboard, and so the team can see. I mean, of course, this is some that you have to know what your score, what's the level, what's the number you are on. Are you on minus? Are you on positive? So if you're in minus, you have to slow down your bat and then try to, like, a strategy you have to apply for it. So it would be great to have a big whiteboard that somebody, resident can come up and just write it down, the score for, so that people can paste their answering.
Yep, we hear you. We'll see what we can do. The scores will be visible to everybody during the game one way or the other, either as the current score or as a tally of all of the questions you answered with your gaining or losing of points. But it would be not a bad idea for you to have somebody on your team be keeping your own scoring as well, just in case we can't get the updated sort of current total score system working on the day of the event. So I apologize. I actually have a conflicting meeting that I'm being called for. So I will drop off. This is recorded as well. So if anybody has any questions that they feel like got answered, but they don't remember, this recording will be sent out. And thank you very much. And feel free to reach out or email with any questions.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Everyone should feel free to contact me also with any questions if you have any. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.